May I please invite you to stand? This Easter season and every Sunday, we celebrate the fact that our Lord Jesus Christ has risen from death to life. As we hear his word and proclaim all that God has done, we can be confident that we too share in his victory over death and live with him forever. Alleluia. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
God of glory, by the raising of your Son, you have broken the chains of death and hell. Fill your church with faith and hope, for a new day has dawned, and the way to life stands open in our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
And so we sing our opening hymn. Thine be the glory. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ be with you.
And
with you. We sit or kneel to pray. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ said, the first commandment is this, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is the only Lord. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this, love your neighbour as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Amen. Lord, have mercy. And so as we come to our confession, we recognise that we have not loved God with all that we are, and we have not loved our neighbours as ourselves. Christ died to sin once for all, and now he lives to God. Let us therefore renew our resolve to have done with all that is evil and confess our sins in penitence and faith. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we have sinned against you and against our neighbour in thought and word and deed, through negligence, through weakness, through our own deliberate fault. We are truly sorry and repent of all our sins. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us, forgive us all that is past, and grant that we may serve you in newness of life, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy upon you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in life eternal, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And the collect for today, the second Sunday of Easter. Almighty Father, you have given your only Son to die for our sins and to rise again for our justification. Grant us so to put away the leaven of malice and wickedness that we may always serve you in pureness of living and truth. Through the merits of your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. Amen.
And so we're going to have the first of our readings.
A reading from the New Testament is taken from the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 2, beginning at verse 14. Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them. Men of Judea, and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you. You that are Israelites, listen to what I have to say. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with deeds of power, wonders, and signs that God did through him among you. As you yourselves know, this man handed over to you according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of those outside the law. But God raised him up, having freed him from death, because it was impossible for him to be held in its power. For King David says concerning him, I saw the Lord always before me, for he is at my right hand, so that I will not be shaken. Therefore my heart was glad and my tongue rejoiced. Moreover, my flesh will live in hope, for you will not abandon my soul to Hades, or let your Holy One experience corruption. You have made known to me the ways of life. You will make me full of gladness with your presence. Fellow Israelites, I may say to you confidently of our ancestor David, that he both died and was buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. Since he was a prophet, he knew that God had sworn with an oath to him that he would put one of his descendants on the throne. Foreseeing this, David spoke of the resurrection of the Messiah, saying, he was not abandoned to Hades, nor did his flesh experience corruption. This Jesus God raised up, and of that all of us are witnesses. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. We're going to stand to sing our next hymn. It's a prayer. Breathe on me, breath of God. Fill me with life anew. Number 51. The Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John. Glory to you, O Lord. John chapter 20. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house were locked where the disciples had met for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the marks of the nails in his hands, and put my finger in the marks of the nails, and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Do please be seated. Open our ears, O Lord, to hear your word and to know your voice. Speak to our hearts and strengthen our wills, that we may serve you now and always. Amen. Amen. Now, I'd started to think about this sermon today, before the events that have appeared in the news about all the leaks from the Pentagon and, the secret stuff about the war that's going on in Ukraine. Which makes it quite interesting, I suppose, because I was going to start by saying something like, every so often our government makes secret documents and files available under the Freedom of Information Act. You know, this is done, you know, legally and properly, not the under the sort of desk thing, the underhand thing. And they always interest historians and journalists. They want to know, what are the treasured secrets of the past? Things that went on that we didn't quite know about. A few years ago now, the Ministry of Defence made public the news of an amazing secret weapon which they seriously considered using during the Cold War. And this deadly secret weapon had the potential to wipe out entire cities, leaving all the buildings untouched. It could slip across enemy borders without being seen and was undetectable to radar. This terrifying weapon was the common pigeon. Okay? I kid you not. This is what you, if you want to go and read it, I can't point you to verse and chapter, but it's true. During the late 1940s, and the Air Ministry had a special pigeon section, which trained and would fly pigeons into enemy territory with deadly poison strapped to their backs. Sadly, the pigeons would not survive the attack, but it was said that the pigeons were willing to make the ultimate sacrifice. Perhaps what was more disturbing and even more sort of Monty Python was the thought that the enemy might do something similar. So the Air Ministry had what was known as the anti-pigeon falconry unit. And this unit trained up British falcons to intercept and kill any enemy pigeons that might fly into British airspace. Goodness knows how you detect the difference between the two. And it all sounds a little bit like an April Fool, but I assure you it is totally true. You can check the facts on the National Archive website. And the evidence leads you to believe that something that sounds so strange, so unusual, is actually true. And that's what's before us in the gospel accounts from John this morning. John is presenting us with facts about Jesus, something that is wholly unusual, without precedence. It's you know, beyond belief, and yet he's asking people to make up their minds about Jesus. But surely faith is a leap in the dark. You know, it usually flies in the face of evidence. Atheist Richard Dawkins says this about faith. Faith is the great cop-out, the great excuse to evade the need to think and evaluate the evidence. Which actually is quite interesting, because in his book, The God Delusion, that's exactly what he does. He doesn't ask us to think. He certainly doesn't evaluate the evidence. When it comes to Christian faith, he says, well, that's for the gullible, those who need a crutch to prop up their weak lives. But in the Bible, there is no difference between faith and facts. God does not treat us as weak-minded, gullible idiots. Rather, faith rests on the sure facts of history, and specifically the historic person of Jesus Christ. And when the doubter Thomas is presented with the facts, he knows that he can only do one thing. He puts his faith, his hope, his trust in Jesus. And the person who makes the real blind leap of faith is not the person who trusts Jesus, but rather the person who rejects the evidence that's there and lives their life flying in the face of the facts. That's blind faith. John's challenge before us is to examine the evidence. Now, we're all human. We understand Thomas. Thomas is quite like us in so many ways. We can understand him for being skeptical. You know, I wasn't there. You know, I didn't see him. You know, unless I see the nail marks in his hands and, you know, and put my fingers down, unless I put my finger in his side, I'm not going to believe. He's not going to be easily deceived, taken in by sort of well-meaning but gullible friends. But there's more here than simple doubt. There is something about Thomas that has an unwillingness to believe. He says, I will not believe. The resurrection of Jesus was not part of Thomas's experience. And if he'd not experienced it, then he wasn't going to believe it. And when it comes to Christian faith today, ideas of what can be true and what can't be true, you know, surround us. We know dead men don't rise. I don't believe in God because I've never seen him. It's a bit like a child shutting one's eyes to the evidence. You know, they're playing hide and seek, and as long as they can't see you, they think you can't see them. This refusal to believe or trust can also be a problem for Christians. How do we trust God for the future? Of course, you know, we don't sort of put it in that sort of straightforward way. But our attitude towards our faith and trust in God is seen in our language and our actions, because we worry about the future. And so we are showing that we don't trust God to take care of it. We fear what will happen. We fret over the consequences about what ifs. It's a refusal to trust the God who cares for each one of us. It's not so much I can't believe, it's more I won't believe. And that stubborn unbelief affects those who don't believe the Christian story, as well as those who do. But thankfully, Thomas came face to face with the evidence. Jesus came again and stood among his disciples and invited Thomas to put his finger and his hands in the wounds. I'm not sure whether he even needed to do that. When confronted with the evidence, Thomas had exactly what he wanted. Jesus stood in front of him as a living, breathing, flesh and blood human. No hallucination, because they'd all seen him standing there. Not a ghost, because Thomas could touch him. And Thomas could only conclude, my Lord and my God. For 3 years he'd followed Jesus around and watched his every move. He'd seen Jesus feed thousands of people with a boy's packed lunch. He'd seen him calm a raging storm, bring back someone from the dead. But only now the penny dropped and Thomas realized that it was all absolutely true. Jesus was Lord and God. But people say, and we might say, well, that's fine for Thomas. You know, he had the evidence right there in front of him. He could touch Jesus. But we haven't, so what do we do? Well, Jesus answers that question for us. Because you have seen me, he says to Thomas, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. And then John explains why he's written his book, his gospel, and in fact, we could take the whole of Scripture, not just the Gospel of John. He says that Jesus did many other miraculous signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not recorded in this book, but these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, The whole point is you don't have to have been there. Jesus says you can be blessed by believing and not physically seeing with your eyes. The very reason John wrote his gospel is so that we might believe. He's given us all the information we need. He's given us specific stories and moments out of all the information that was available to him, so that we might come to the conclusion that Jesus is both Lord and God. God does not expect us to make a blind leap of faith. All we have, all that we need to make an informed choice is right there in the Gospels, based on solid evidence. That's the mark of faith. It's a mark of integrity, not a blind leap in the dark, but examining the evidence and humbly bowing before Jesus Christ. So John's first challenge is to examine the evidence, but then he says the second challenge is to spread the word. On the first Easter Sunday, Jesus challenged his disciples and he gave them a divine right and a divine resource. The right is, as the Father has sent me, so I am sending you. John made it clear from the very beginning of his gospel that Jesus was sent into the world to rescue people like you and me. But now that that work is done, Jesus has died on the cross, he's risen again, and he gives us his peace, the peace of knowing forgiveness of sins, the peace of that relationship with God. He now sends us out into the world with the authority to tell that wonderful news. God continues that same mission today in and through his people with that same authority to tell the world about Jesus and his amazing gift of life. It's easy to hide behind the sort of curtain of woke political correctness and swallow the lie that all truths are equal and right. But some things are wrong and some things are right. And so the question is, who is it that we are going to believe and obey? The kings of this world or the King of Kings, Jesus Christ? As the Father sends us, sends his Son, so he sends us. But we don't go alone. We have this resource, the gift of the Spirit. And with verse 22, with that he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Jesus never leaves his people to their own resources, but he gives us his Spirit so that we can do his work. And here Jesus gives his disciples a sort of acted parable of Pentecost, when the Spirit was given in its fullness. We are equipped and we are empowered by God to do his work. And as people hear the gospel, either they will accept it and they will receive the forgiveness on offer, or they will reject it and not receive that forgiveness, which is what Jesus meant by those rather cryptic last words he says in verse 23 about forgiving sins and not forgiving sins. God alone can give forgiveness and set people free. But when we tell people about Jesus, God uses us in granting his forgiveness, his freedom. So the question for us is, for those of us who profess to follow Christ, is whether we are up for the challenge in this 21st century. Will we let go of that sort of "I won't believe" attitude and avail ourselves of God's full and complete forgiveness and freedom of life? And as those who have professed to follow Christ, will we then go into the world wherever God has placed us and tell the story as Jesus commands? We have his divine rights, we have his authority, and we have his divine resource, the Holy Spirit. "These things are written," says John, "not just that you might know, but that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you and others may have life in his name." So we pray. Father, thank you that you've not called us to gullible faith. You have called us to faith based on facts. Jesus is alive, risen from the dead. Breathe on us afresh your Holy Spirit and send us out into the world with the good news that Jesus is alive, that he forgives sins and he makes all things new. Amen.
Let us pray. Loving Father, you know the struggles we have in our need for proof to believe in what we cannot see or touch, muffling our faith. We confess our frequent failure to trust you. Lord, gently break down our defences and come on in. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
This month we watch our children, grandchildren, nieces and nephews getting out of the house, stretching their limbs in sport and play. We pray for the children closest to us, in our families, amongst our neighbours and in our church. We remember them before you now in a few moments of silence by name. Give these children such stimulus and joy that they never lose their enthusiasm for life, and give their parents and teachers the love and inspiration they also need day by day. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
God of mercy and grace, our whole world should be declared unsafe. The threats to human flourishing multiply with the random brutality of terrorism and wars, the warnings of climate catastrophe, the misery of refugees, the threat of cyber attack, and the nuclear ambition of rogue states. Help us, Lord, to hold out a clearer vision of a world living in conformity with the values of your kingdom, and which offers human dignity, equal worth, and the enjoyment of political and cultural diversity. Keep offering that vision together with politicians who will work for it and institutions that embody it. We pray for a peaceful end to the war in Ukraine, the African nations with internal conflicts, and the resurgence of conflicts in the Holy Land. We also pray especially for Christians at this time in Jerusalem, where sectarian attacks are on the rise. Lord, in your mercy.
Amen.
Gracious God, all of us carry a number of suffering people in our hearts, and as a church we carry many more. As we pray for them now, we reach out to them in love, knowing that you will use our love for their benefit. These then are the people we bring to you, noted on our pew sheet. Gail, now at home continuing her recovery. John Watts, now over COVID and gaining strength. Roger Strachan, who continues to recuperate at home. Christine Nisbet, who has successfully had her hip operation. Paul and Jean Rickett's daughter-in-law, Amanda, recovering well at home, and Caden, about to have his second lot of treatment. In a few moments of silence, we add to those known to us personally. Give to each the peace, light, and healing of your loving presence. Lord, in your mercy. God of April, Lord of the year, lead us through the rest of this month with faith, hope, and love. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
So let us stand and declare our faith. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father, through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate from the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and was made man. For our sakes he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Alleluia, Christ has been raised from the dead. The peace of the Lord be always with you. Please offer one another a sign of peace. And we're going to sing our next hymn, number 599, When We Walk With the Lord.
Thank you.
going to use the third prayer, which is on page 10. Risen Lord Jesus, we believe you, and all that we have heard is true. When you break bread, may we recognize you as the fire that burns within us, that we may bring light to your world. Amen. The Lord is here. Lift up your hearts.
We lift thanks to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give thanks and praise.
You are worthy of our thanks and praise, Lord God of truth. For by the breath of your mouth you have spoken your word, and all things have come into being. You fashioned us in your image, and placed us in the garden of your delights. Though we chose the path of rebellion, you would not abandon your own. Again and again, you drew us into your covenant of grace. You gave your people the law and taught us by your prophets to look for your reign of justice, mercy, and peace. As we watch for the signs of your kingdom on earth, we echo the song of the angels in heaven, evermore praising you and saying, Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Lord God, you are the most holy one, enthroned in splendor and light. Yet in the coming of your Son, Jesus Christ, you reveal the power of your love, made perfect in our human weakness. Embracing our humanity, Jesus showed us the way of salvation. Loving us to the end, he gave himself to death for us. Dying for his own, he set us free from the bonds of sin that we might rise and reign with him in glory. On the night he gave up himself for us all, he took bread and gave you thanks. He broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup and gave you thanks. He gave it to them, saying, Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Therefore, we proclaim the death that he suffered on the cross. We celebrate his resurrection, his bursting from the tomb. We rejoice that he reigns at your right hand on high, and we long for his coming in glory. As we recall the one perfect sacrifice of our redemption, Father, by your Holy Spirit, let these gifts of your creation be to us the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Form us into the likeness of Christ and make us a perfect offering in your sight. Look with favour on your people and in your mercy hear the cry of our hearts. Bless the earth, heal the sick, let the oppressed go free, and fill your church with power from on high. Gather your people from the ends of the earth to feast with all your saints at the table in your kingdom, where the new creation is brought to perfection in Jesus Christ our Lord, by whom and with whom and in whom, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honour and glory be yours, Almighty Father, forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Please sit or kneel as we pray. As our Saviour taught us, so we pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. We break this bread to share in the body of Christ. Though we are many, we are one body, because we all share in one bread. Jesus, Lamb of God, have mercy on us. Jesus, bearer of our sins, have mercy on us. Jesus, Redeemer of the world, grant us peace. Draw near with faith, receive the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he gave for you, and his blood, which he shed for you. Eat and drink in remembrance that he died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. The body of Christ broken for you. The body of Christ broken for you. The body of Christ broken for you. On page 18, we pray together. Father of all, we give you thanks and praise that when we were still far off, you met us in your Son and brought us home. Dying and living, he declared your love, gave us grace, and opened the gate of glory. May we who share Christ's body live his risen life. We who drink his cup bring life to others. We whom the Spirit lights, give light to the world. Keep us firm in the hope you have set before us, so we and all your children shall be free, and the whole earth live to praise your name. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. And we stand for our closing offertory hymn, Crown Him with Many Crowns, number 77.
Oh,
Thank you. And all be prayer and praise, that his reign shall know no end, and round his pierced feet bare flowers of paradise extend, their fragrance ever sweet. There is just one notice. It is in your hands. You have the notice sheet. Please make sure you take it away with you. It's got the announcements for this week. And so our closing blessing. God the Father, by whose glory Christ was raised from the dead, strengthen you to walk with him in his risen life. And may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon you and all those you love and pray for, now and always. Amen. Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and I am the life. Those who believe in me will live, even though they die. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. In the name of Christ, amen.